Well, today it's already been said that we are starting a two-part series, Faith from Another Perspective. In a world that is increasingly polarized, we followers of Jesus choose to focus on finding common ground. Instead of fear, we choose to trust, even though this sometimes takes us well beyond our comfort zone. Instead of hate, we choose to love. And loving means trying to understand. We do this because we are people of faith. Our Christian faith is life-giving and important to us. Because this is true, we are able to understand how important faith is to others, even when their faith is very different from our own. The scripture passage that Charlene read to us this morning from Genesis 16 is the story of Abram, Sarai, Hagar, and Ishmael. In this story, God comes to Hagar in the desert and promises her, like God also promises Abraham, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." Ishmael, son of Hagar and Abraham, is considered by Muslims to be the ancestor of the prophet Muhammad. Like Christianity and Judaism, Islam is an Abrahamic religion. We share a common ancestry. We also share a common world, common dreams, common hopes. Hassan and Imani Latif are good friends of this congregation. For years, we have joined together to support men coming out of prison. Later this morning, we will bless the backpacks, and they keep coming in, the backpacks which we have filled for these men. Then this is something we do each year. It's a ritual, a tradition, like Elaine talked about with the kids. But today, Hassan and Imani are also here as people of faith, and they have agreed to share with us what their Muslim faith means to them. So would you guys please come forward? I'm going to pray for you both before we start.
You need that.
Dear God, let's pray. Dear God of all creation, bless Hassan and Imani as they share with us this morning. May the words of their mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Good morning. I'll go first. I really tried to write down something that I wanted to say, and the words didn't come to me, and I said I figured I'd just wait till I got here and speak from the heart. I converted to Islam in 1983. I was raised a Presbyterian. I was actually a Sunday school teacher. I got fired from being a Sunday school teacher. A lot of it had to do with the time. It was the 70s. It was a very revolutionary time. I'll just leave it at that. But before I converted, and I've always been extremely religious, I've always felt a connection, deep connection to God. I really wanted to make sure, after studying different religions, that I would be still worshiping the same God that had gotten me through so many difficulties in my life. And I studied, and as I read the Quran, the real Quran, not the one that you find online sometimes or the ones that are talked about on certain, you know, sites online, the real one, I realized that in the Quran is Adam and Eve, Noah, Moses, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the Immaculate Birth, a lot of the same things because it's the same history. And that Allah is simply the Arabic word for God. What Islam has meant to me, and I embraced it, is peace, comfort, discipline in my life. It is a way of life and service to others and kindness to others. Sometimes we get confused nowadays because it has been usurped by folks that translated into hatred. And also, sometimes it's usurped by folks who confuse Islam with their tribal customs. The purest form of Islam, if we all practiced it exactly the way it's written, and you practice Christianity the way it's written, and Jews practice Judaism the way it's written, we'd pretty much be doing all the same things. So it's meant to me being able to feel a real connection to God and to be able to embrace something every day. My son doesn't exactly practice. He's sort of torn between wanting to develop his own way. But the thing that I've passed down to him is just a love for others and a respect for others and an embracing of people no matter who they are and what their religion is. So that's what it means to me. And one of the things that I really love, I love coming to this church. I love the singing and everything. And no, we don't really sing in the mosques. Is your dedication to service. And I think that that's a real important piece of the Mennonite religion is a commitment to service. And that's what I love about you guys, and that's what we share as well.
That wasn't so hard, was it? Morning, family. First of all, when I was being raised by my family in New York, we were raised Baptist. I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions about things I didn't understand. What I was offered more often than not was rebuke of one sort or another. Sometimes the back of the hand version of that. It didn't seem appropriate for a 5 or 6 year old to have legitimate questions about what they should believe and what they should embrace and have those questions responded to in that way. Fast forward about 15 or 16 years, I found myself in Queens House of Detention in New York. And I was in the hole because I was having transitional issues inside. And I was in the hole for some days. And this gentleman started talking to me because he saw how I was brought in, not gently placed in the cell a couple down from him. And he was talking to me for days. He was talking to me, and I was thinking, oh, this guy is really deep. Really profound. We were just talking about life, and he said something after about the third or fourth day. He said something that made me ask him, man, what are you, one of them Muslims? He said, yes, I'm Muslim. I said, well, tell me something about Islam. He said, I've been talking to you about Islam for 3 days. But he never overtly said anything that would make me think that. He didn't say Allah's name. He didn't say the Prophet Muhammad's name. He didn't say anything that to me seemed overly religious. It was just about life and people's place in it. And I was having these questions answered that I'd had so much of my life. And still, it was many, many years before, even after accepting Islam, that I was free enough to accept the fullness of it. I want to share something. This is a verse from Quran, and it says, O mankind, we created you from a single pair of a male and female, and made you into nations and tribes that you might know each other, not that you may despise each other. Verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you, and Allah has full knowledge and is well acquainted with all things. That, I think, speaks very clearly to the connectedness of human beings, which is something that took most of my life for me to understand and to feel. Not unlike most of the folks we serve at Second Chance Center, most of my life I felt apart from, as opposed to a part of, including the family that I was raised by. Actually, we felt a part of this family quicker than I felt a part of mine. But so I understand that particular struggle of our folks. What I found through Islam is the understanding of how connected we all are. When I look at the world and a lot of the things that are so disheartening, I think it's because people are focusing on those things that are different as opposed to those things that are common amongst us. My faith actually helps me to focus on those kinds of things. And so when I see people today where most of my life, when I looked at folks, I saw people I could very easily place a label on, that I could easily marginalize or undervalue for one reason or another. Now I do just the opposite. And it's a result of me understanding finally at this advanced age that it is those who are the most righteous in their actions, those who are the most kind, those who are the most giving, that are the closest to the Creator. And it's something that I strive to be and to do in my personal life, and blessed to have work, a professional life that actually embraces that same concept. So when I tell people sometimes about my journey to this place of enlightenment, I don't know how that sounds to y'all, but really, if you've lived a lot of your life in very dark places, it's very easy to recognize that. And I shared with you all, I think, once many years ago about a dear friend of mine who just said to me once in response to my attempt to thank her for a gift that I couldn't really imagine being the recipient of, less more someone being open to giving me. She said to me, just be kind to people. Just be kind to people. And Islam, my faith, actually reinforces that for me every day, because anything other than that is just uncivilized. So thank you so much for sharing your space and your time with us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Hassan and Imani. And I just thought of, we had a period of time where we would sing a song and read this verse from Philippians, which just says exactly what you said, which if I can, where's Nathan? He knows this verse. Oh, you guys, which one was it? Whatever is good, whatever is four through eight. Oh, rejoice in the Lord always. No, that's not it. Finally, beloved, it's 8:48. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. This is Paul writing. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's sing.
For our hymn of response, please take your blue worship book. Turn to number 525. How blessed are they? Number 525.
Ushers, please come forward to receive the morning offering. Join me in prayer. God of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, in many ways we offer our resources and time in the service of your shalom. We pray these offerings will be blessed, multiplied, and used towards your infinite desire of goodness for all your children and all of creation. Amen.
Thank you. Well, this is the ninth year that we have filled backpacks for the annual Freedom Conference. I want to know if there's one of those of you who would like a little exercise. It'll take a few people. Would you please bring all those backpacks and pile them up here somewhere? There were 78 when we counted them this morning when we brought them up, and there's a lot more that have come. Yeah, I know.
We now have 115.
Dave, woo-hoo, the challenge is we've had 115. For those for you guys, Dave has been pushing us for 100, saying 100, we got to do 100. So we've done 115. Our church is around 70 people, active members. Oh, you guys are great. A little path here. We're going to get called out for being a fire hazard. Whoa, somebody taking a picture? Okay, Jeff's got it. Okay. Hassan, would you come and tell us where these backpacks go, what they're going to be used for, a little bit about the Freedom Conference, and please then, at the same time, would you introduce the folks who are here with you?
I'd love to, thank you. First of all, the first Freedom Conference was 2006, and Imani started it, and it takes a village. I was at Pier 1 and had been there a few months, and she knew the kind of things that she had brought to Pier 1 for me, backpacks, toiletries, that kind of thing. Her concern was what was happening to folks who didn't really have that kind of support. And so that was the impetus for the first Freedom Conference, was trying to expand support for folks that were in the same circumstances I was in. It was also the first time I got to sit publicly with her and have lunch, actually, in 18 years, so it was a pretty special event. So we've grown a lot since then. If I could just, we have a few staff members here. This is Sandy Maynard right here on the end. Please, would you stand, Sandy? And Sandy's the executive assistant there at Second Chance Center. And this is Mandy Koss, our newest employee. She was working with Arapahoe County Pretrial Services for a couple of decades, so we snatched her up from the dark side. Wanda Harrison, she's our senior care manager. And Wanda started with us as an intern, and while she was in school and when she graduated, we weren't able to hire her, so we helped her get on someplace else. And the first chance we got, we snatched her back too. So I just wanna say how every year Glen Heights has exceeded your own expectations and your own goals. And what we found while we're doing this work, some of y'all know it started about 5.5 years ago in my car. And then we were in a small space next to It Takes a Village for about 2.5 years. We moved into a new building in October of 2015, 4,000 square feet. We thought we'd have a lot of time to grow into it. We've grown out of it. We've long grown out of it. We have Sandy's mother's camper on the parking lot that we use for a clothing closet because we had to move it outside. So it's like the more capacity we gain, the more need shows up. So we may not have planned for 115, but they'll show up. They never stop showing up. I feel a little conflicted about that
because part of me wishes that we were out of business. And part of me wonders what happens to those folks who can't get to us and who's there for them. You all here at Glendon Heights Mennonite Church, y'all are really role models for us about giving and performing and selfish efforts. And ever since, I was telling somebody this morning about John and I's trek. The first public speaking thing I ever did around transitioning after incarceration was with John at Crossroads. The very next group that I spoke to was right here in this building, downstairs. So y'all have been very much a part of our success and our growth. And for those who may not have not been following us lately, we've been so blessed this last year. We are poised to be able to build a permanent supportive housing project in Aurora, a 50 unit. Right now we have an application into CHAFA, which is Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. And if we're blessed with this award, that's what developers would use those tax credits to garner the private and banking investments that go for building someplace that's safe and secure and welcoming for folks coming home. I mean, this kind of thing still blows my mind. I'm talking about this as if it's just something. But what it is just an example of how God blesses us beyond our own expectations. And to see it every day is the kind of thing that reinforces faith and strengthens it. This right here, we know people that are still carrying their backpacks they got 2 years ago, 3 years ago from here. And, you know, here's the thing. These are very much needed. And the things that are in it are very much needed. But that's not the biggest part of this gift. The biggest part of this gift is when our people get something like this, along with the knowledge that somebody cared enough about them to want them to have what they needed to be clean, to be successful, and to move forward. That's important. That's what you all give up, not just the backpacks and the hygiene items. People know that somebody cares. And for our folks, that's really important. And you can get a lot of mileage out of people when they realize that someone cares about them. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. And may God continue to bless you and us as well.
We want to pray a blessing on these backpacks as they go. So please pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for these backpacks. We thank you for all the stuff that's in them. We thank you for each person and family who put them together and brought them here. We ask your blessing on these backpacks as they leave today with Hassan and the other folks from the Second Chance Center. Make them a source of encouragement and hope for the men who will receive them at the Freedom Conference on Friday. We know that you love each of these people deeply and that you are walking with them. May they be aware of your presence. Bless them and keep them, dear Lord. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So after the service, please help these people get these things out into their cars, okay? All right.
All hands on deck.
That's all right.
This is the time in our service where we share with one another announcements, joys, and concerns as a way of nurturing our life of community with one another. We have a joys and concerns insert. If you haven't done so, find a way, even using the back side of this, there's a lot on today's list. Add to it what will be offered as well as a part of your spiritual life this week, holding up in prayer us as a community and the broader humanity that is in need of our love and care. And we are especially thankful for Household of the Week, Don and Elvira Sherling, for who you are that you are a part of us, and the joy of how you give and are a part of our lives. Thank you so much for that. I am going to add a couple of things here. This week, Betsy sent out an email, and some of you may have received that, as well as are aware of the escalating violence and escalating conflict between North Korea and the United States. We actually have sister and brother in California, Hyun and Soo Her, that are leaders of Reconcile Asian, and it's an organization that's committed to Anabaptist peace building in the Asian American context, the Korean Peninsula. There's much to pray for there. I also lift up the prayers for Second Chance, for the leadership, for all who are coming out of prison. Special place in our hearts. We have a friend, Julian, who just can't quite stay out of prison. It's a very difficult transition. So thank you for all you do for those who are coming out and trying to reenter life here. I also lift up James Alex Fields. And all who were impacted by yesterday's protest and the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. For the family of Heather Heyer, the two police officers, all who were injured, those who were a part of the protests and those who were not, but impacted by what happened. And then I also invite you to join all of us in a potluck meal later after the church. We call it the Garden of Goodness potlucks. There will be plenty of food, so come and join us. What are your announcements, concerns, and joys?
Well, our annual Glennon Heights retreat at Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp is coming up. It is the weekend of Saturday the 9th, September the 9th, Sunday, September the 10th. All of you should have a green registration form in your mailbox at the back, and there are some extra copies in a little shelf underneath there. If you are planning to attend, we would appreciate if you could let us know how many, for which days do you need accommodation, which meals you're staying for, all that kind of good stuff. You can put these back in our mailbox, or you can hand them to me, or you can hand them to Claire. In a pinch, you can email me with your information. It is handy to have the actual form. It's a little bit less work to keep track of, but I will be grateful for your information any way it comes. If you are new to Glennon Heights and have never attended Rocky Mountain Mennonite Camp, we would like to offer you your first weekend for free. So there's a little space on the form for that as well. And we'd appreciate having these back by September the 3rd so we have enough time to let the camp know how many meals to plan for. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sharon Nelson, and some of you, I think some of you know me. I've spoken here at least once and visited and probably saw some of you even at Mountain States Mennonite Conference last weekend. I'm here today. I'm kind of double doing it because I rushed here from my own church, and I'm so glad I got here when I did to hear some of Hassan speaking to you all. And myself, and before I give my announcement, what resonated with me as you were talking, Hassan, was this verse in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And that just kept ringing through as I heard you speak about just how blessed you are personally, but also the organization Second Chance Center, that God does so many wonderful things, much more than we can ever imagine. And especially to remember that during the difficult times, I think it's easy to remember that when things are going well, but when things aren't going well, it's a little harder to hold on to those words. So my announcement is actually, because I am the MCC Young Adult Program Coordinator, I have a need, and the need is a host family. IVEP, some of you may be aware of, it stands for International Volunteer Exchange Program, and that is one of the young adult programs that I work with. And we have an IVEPer coming here to Denver, working at the Conflict Center, and he has no host family, which is a pretty huge need, considering he'll be here this Thursday. So, Betsy, your very own Betsy and Bruce McCray have volunteered to host him temporarily, which is a pretty big deal because, as you know, this is a transition year for them. So I'm very thankful that they're willing to make that commitment for a little while, but that's definitely not the solution. So I actually have some flyers that I will leave downstairs, I guess, where your name tags are. And on the flyer, it has all the information. It gives you a little bit of information about him as well. And his name is Jacob from Burkina Faso. The contact information at the very bottom actually is for the Conflict Center, not myself. And so you would be in touch with Ronnie. But you're more than welcome to contact me as well. If you have questions about what that even looks like, what does it mean to be in a host family, and what is that all involved, I'd be more than happy to give you a heads up on that as well. So I'll leave these flyers downstairs as well as my business cards from MCC, and hopefully we'll have something for him soon. So thank you so much.
John Simpson here. So I just want to let you all know that I'm entering my last year of nursing school, so I'm pretty excited about that. And I also want to send out prayers to all the kids that are going back to school. I'm sure maybe it was brought up last week or something. But you know, we have several teachers in our congregation, and I'm glad that our kids are going back to school. Just, you know, hold our young people up in prayer. Sometimes it's the only thing that's real concrete in some of their lives, and just bless them and keep them safe this year.
Thanks to Imani and Hassan for your testimony this morning. Just very powerful and very moving. Thank you. I also wanted to mention Hassan has left some newsletters from Second Chance Center, Never Going Back, and you'll find them here under the under our mailboxes here. So do pick up a copy and keep up with what they're up to. Thank you.
June and I want to thank the congregation and Betsy for your prayer support with our son. He lives in Newton, Kansas, and he was injured. He broke his artillery tendon in his foot, so consequently it got a little worse and he ended up with blood clots, and it was pretty serious. So the congregation was very helpful, and he's doing much better. He plans to try to go back to teaching. He's a teacher, so thank you very much.
I got to tell you, I am so proud of this congregation. I asked for 100, we got 115. Maybe next year we'll do more, maybe not. I am just thrilled to death about what this congregation has done. Everybody knows I'm on the board of Second Chance. I've tried to adopt that agency as my own, and this just makes me so proud. I have got to mention Ruth Miller. I know she didn't want me to, but I've got to. That lady brought in 54 backpacks. I know they weren't filled, Ruth, but they wouldn't have gotten filled if you hadn't have brought them. So 54 of them, you can give her credit.
Betsy.
Boy, it's an obstacle course up here. I want to say before we pray that if you would consider the hosting of Jacob, this young man from IVAP, he will probably be with us here next week at church, and you would get a chance to meet him. He's coming on Thursday and will stay with Bruce and I for a couple of months and hopefully then move into a home where he can stay that's not going to be sold out from under him for the rest of the year. Please carry that in prayerful consideration this week, whether this would be something that you would be open to doing. Let's come before God in prayer. Dear God of all people, all places, all times, we come before you in humility, knowing how little we really understand of the world, but also trusting this diverse and complicated world, trusting that it is in your loving hands. We are grateful for your love for us and for the whole world, all its people. Thank you for this earth which we all share. Thank you for the beauty and the bounty of this summer season. Thank you for the moisture we received this past week. Nature is beautiful, but it can also be very destructive. We pray for those who have experienced flooding in New Orleans, for those who are in danger from ongoing wildfires, for those who live in the paths of hurricanes to come. We pray for safety and for wisdom in response to these things. Help us care well for this powerful earth upon which we live and to treat it with respect. We share this earth with so many different people. Help us to see each person we meet or each person we hear about through your eyes. Each is deeply known and loved by you. We thank you for all the folks, including those who work at the Second Chance Center, who are giving of themselves their time, their resources, and all they have to build up their communities, to meet needs, and to offer hope. We pray for those who are hurting and homeless, those who are uncertain about what the future may bring, those who are afraid and lonely. Comfort them, Lord. Give them peace. We pray for the uncertainty of our world, especially this week in regards to the threats flying back and forth between the U.S. and North Korea and the disturbing white supremacy protests in Charlottesville. Oh, be in these situations, God of peace. Be in the hearts of those involved. Help us as a people do what you would do in this world which you love. We pray this with our brothers and sisters of faith around the world. We pray together for peace. We pray for peace in the Congo, where so many of our Mennonite brothers and sisters are facing a terrifying, horrible situation. Oh, Lord, please hear their and our prayers. Bless your church in every nation and place. Be with the leaders of our own denomination, Mennonite Church USA. Encourage and guide the leaders of Mountain States Mennonite Conference in this time of leadership transition. And dear God, we come to you in gratefulness for this, our own beloved congregation. This morning we ask a special blessing on Don and Elvira. Thank you for their faithful presence among us. Be with them, strengthen them, keep them, Lord. Be with all among us who are ill or are caring for family members who are ill or aging. Be with Yasmin and her father Florencio in this time of uncertainty and ill health. We rejoice with Larry and June that their son Brian has recovered and is doing well and will go back to teaching. We think of all the children and teachers who are headed back to school, Lord, and we pray for wisdom and joy and hope and perseverance and all that is needed to make this a very good school year. Along with Barry and Brenda, we thank you for this new job that Barry has landed. May it be a good and fruitful thing. Lord, be with the elders as they put together a transition team. May they be open to your Spirit's leading. May those who are called to be part of this time respond with hope and with joy. We know that you will guide this process. This is such a good church, dear Lord. You will care for it, I know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our second song, please take your green symphonica one more time. Turn to number 2, Hamba Nati. Come walk with us. So we'll take a crack at the first verse in Zulu, and then we'll sing the rest of the English verses. And I will ask you to stand and remain standing for the benediction of Pope. If anybody feels moved by the Spirit, there's a really cool descant there that I would encourage you to sing if you